Well, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 4. Your pastor mentioned that you're going to be in John, chapter number 3, and I thought about that as I sit in the pew and as I sing quietly. My wife says I should sing on a hill far away. Amen. Some of y'all folks, you understand how I'm singing and what I'm talking about. I enjoy singing, I just don't sing well. Amen. And some folks need to sing on a hill far away. So as I'm singing there quietly to myself without the microphone, I'm thinking, well, it'd be nice to tie this together. So I thought, you know, when we think about John chapter number 3, what we really have is we have this wonderful announcement. Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, is speaking to Nicodemus, and he tells him that famous verse, for God what? So loved the world that he gave. So we have that great announcement. And I tell you what, that's what the world needs. The world needs to hear that announcement. You know that there's some people around the world today that really still don't have a clear understanding about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They just don't have a clue. When we lived in Timmins, we lived in a semi, and we always called it the fire station house because it was narrow and built up. In fact, our little side of the semi had 5 floors. And so if Pastor Wyatt has lost anything, I've gained it, because once we left the 5 floors, I started gaining weight. And so I still have hair and I still have lots of things, but what I have more of now is weight. Amen. But anyway, we were there and we had our neighbors. I mean, you know, there's just one wall between us, and they come from Quebec. And my wife is out on the back porch. Our porch joins their porch. There's some lattice work between them. And she starts talking to those young girls. And she says, we're going to sing a song. I said, do you know the song Jesus Loves Me? This I know. They said, no, we've never heard that before. You know, not everybody has what you have. That's right. Amen. Christmas, I think we should have Christmas about, what, 10, 12 months out of the year myself. I love singing the Christmas songs. Oh, come all ye faithful. That should be the Baptist theme song right there. Amen. Oh, come all ye... Hey, listen, you need to be faithful. And Christmas is a good reminder of really what all this is about, isn't it? And it's really not all about us. It's really all about Him. And so John chapter 3 is what we could say. Here's the great announcement. Christmas says the King is coming. The Bible says He's come. Hey, tell you what, I've got some more good news. He's coming again. Amen. It's not over. The last chapter's been penned. The period's been placed. But the story's not over yet. He's coming again. So we get in John chapter 3. Now we're going to go to John chapter number 4. John chapter 3 is the great announcement. John chapter number 4 is the great adventure. I tell you what, your Christian life ought to be an adventure, hadn't it? I tell you what, if you're bored, I can tell you how to get unbored. Get you a handful of gospel tracts. Go to the Walmart. Or go to that man's store. What's that other man's store? Canadian Tire. That's the man's store. They got tools. Amen. Hey, just get you a handful of tracks. Go stand in front of the door, stand in the parking lot. Start handing out tracks. You will not be bored. You'll be so nervous, you'll be scared to death. It'll be exciting to be a Christian. Amen. And you will not be bored. In fact, you'll start having stories to tell. Brother, you won't believe what happened today. This guy come out and I gave him a track and he looked at me like, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. Amen. I'm just happy to be saved. So we have the great announcement. John chapter number 3 is the great adventure. Hey, listen, I want to challenge you. This year's almost over. Next year, why don't you say, you know what, next year I'm going to have a great adventure. But now take you John chapter number 4. Let's look in verse number 1. The Bible says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Look at verse 4. Here's the adventure. He must needs go through Samaria. Now, I know you know this, but back in Bible times, the Jewish people didn't have anything to do, didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. They just didn't go there. They didn't like them. Hey, they didn't like the land. They didn't like the people. They didn't like anything about them. And if they could, they would try to not go there. And so really what the Lord's trying to do, He's trying to teach them a lesson. And we could say, you know what, when we study this passage, we can say, you know, what did the Lord find? And we could also, on the flip side of that, say, well, what did the disciples miss? the Lord found something when he got there. Amen? You remember what he found? He found a lady at the well. You know what they missed? They missed her. And so they missed an opportunity to do what needs to be done. You know what? Many times you and I miss opportunities to do what needs to be done. You know what? The world needs to know about that great announcement. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Think about it, that whosoever. I'm glad the Bible says whosoever. I'm glad it didn't say just folks from Canada. And you're glad it doesn't say, you know, just folks from the U.S. I'm glad that it included folks from Arkansas. Amen. Amen. I don't know where you're from, but I know where I'm from. I'm from Podunk. Bergman, Arkansas is a town of 418 people. It's a metropolitan area. Absolutely. And I'm not real good with words. I was up there one time and they were talking about having ice cream after church. And I thought, well, I said, hey, if you're going to get some of that cosmopolitan. I said, what? You know, that it's got the pink and the white and the brown all together in one box. That's Neapolitan, not cosmopolitan. So I'm not the brightest duck on the pond. Hey, listen, I come from Podunk. But I'm sure glad that God saves people from Podunk. Hey, I'm glad God is interested in people that just come from little places. Amen? But he also, hey, God's interested in people that come from big places. He must needs go through Samaria. Jesus said, I got to go. And now the disciples are following. Now, if he's going, I suggest you ought to go with him. Amen? That's a pretty good... Hey, I tell you what, you ever went on a trip with somebody? If you ever been on a trip with me, I can drive wonderful. If my wife drives, it's a different story. And by the way, my wife can drive. She just can't drive my truck. Mine's got that extra pedal over here. And it's got one of these extra things here that's got six gears on it. And usually when she drives, things are scattered all over in the back. I don't... But anyway, get with her. She'll tell you some stories. But I tell you what, any trip with the Lord is a good trip. It just really is. So we have the great announcement. Now we have the adventure. He must needs go through Samaria. My question is why? Why would Jesus need to go there? What's he doing? So let's jump into the story. What we're going to find, we're going to find a couple of things. Number one, we're going to find the Lord, number one, was willing. He was willing to do some things that nobody else was willing to do. Hey, Christmas time. When we think about Christmas time, you know what the Lord, number one, was willing to do? He was willing to leave the glories of heaven and come to here. Boy, that's a big deal there, isn't it? I mean, I'm not God, and you better be thankful I'm not. I'm glad I'm not God because I would zap me. Amen. I would just strike me with lightning because I don't like me sometimes. But I think, I mean, when you think about it, you have God, God robed in flesh. You have God the Son look down from heaven to where everything is perfect, everything is wonderful, and he looks at this sinful world and he says, I think I'm going to have to go there. How many love Toronto? Got a couple of weird folks. Amen. That's okay. I tell you what, Toronto is, they have the most friendly people in Toronto I've ever met in my life. Everybody honks at me. And I just wave. I mean, you're driving down the road, folks are honking. I'm thinking, praise the Lord. Hey, how you doing? Folks out here aren't near as friendly as they are in Toronto. Nobody honks at me out here. But boy, when I get close to Toronto, folks start getting friendly. Now, again, you already know where I'm from. Podunk. Now, I had the opportunity to go see Pastor Cook in Trenton. I was checking boat ferries to go around Toronto. And I was checking, you know, maybe you go up through Orangeville, maybe up through Barrie and over to Pembroke and maybe back down. Just any way to get around Toronto. I don't like going to Toronto. I don't like going through to Toronto. Amen. Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. And the disciples are thinking, but we don't like those people. And we don't like that place. Why do we have to do that? Amen. So the Lord was willing. Number one, he was willing to leave heaven to come here. Number two, he was willing to cross some regional boundaries. Regional boundaries. I don't know about you, where I grew up, we had Bergman, then we had Lead Hill. Lead Hill's about 15, 16 miles away. You know, those high school things, those school things, that's kind of us against them. We were the Bergman Panthers and they were the Lead Hill. What was Lead Hill? Tigers. You kind of get those little school colors. We were blue and gold, and they were black and white or whatever they were. Nobody wanted to go to Lead Hill. Nobody in Lead Hill wanted to go to Bergman. Now, I know folks up here, they're not like we are. You know, you're not clannish. You don't have your little area that you're... It's kind of like Jonah. Jonah said, you know what? I don't mind reaching people like me. I just don't want to go over there where they're not like me. I don't want to go over there. And the story of Jonah was very simple, really, when you think about it. The story of Jonah, really, God tried to involve Jonah, but the story of Jonah wasn't really about Jonah. The story of Jonah was this. God said, listen, I'm interested in getting my word from where it is to where it's not. Jonah, would you take it? Jonah went, but he didn't like it, did he? Hey, listen, the Bible says, I think there's something in there about a cheerful giver, a cheerful. Smile, folks, listen. You know one thing we can all give is a smile. Some of y'all need to practice, amen. I'm just being honest, amen. You see, your preacher, no, if you're ever this way looking that way, you'll be discouraged. If you're that way looking this way, you'll never know. Amen. He must needs go through Samaria. He was willing, number one, to leave heaven to come here. He was willing, number two, to cross some boundaries that the disciples were not willing to cross. And he knew that they needed to get to the place that they were willing. They were willing. The Bible tells us he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Look at verse 8. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. The great adventure. What did Jesus find? He found a lady, didn't he? What did they miss? They missed an opportunity. I know they were Baptist. You know how I know? They went to get food. Amen. Hey, we were Pastor Bodeway's last night. I said, you know what? I read on the church sign. It said, Baptist, we meet to eat. You want to have a full house? Have food. Amen. You want to have a small crowd? Don't have... Anyway. And so here it is. The Lord said, hey, listen, I need to do this. If he needed to, they should have been paying pretty close attention. And so while he was there ministering, they were buying meat. Hey, listen, don't miss an opportunity. Don't miss an opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. Aren't you glad somebody told you about the Lord Jesus Christ? I used to have a little discipleship book, and it said one, W-O-N, one by one, O-N-E. I was one by one. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to win one, wouldn't you? And sometimes, hey, in order to win one, we have to be willing. Sometimes we have to be willing to go places that we wouldn't like to go. Amen? I didn't enjoy going from Alaska to Texas. 107. Hey, I'm built for cool weather. I just really am. I thought I'd died and gone to purgatory, and that's not even the Bible. It's just hot. It's just hot. But you know what? I was willing. He must needs go through Samaria. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Notice what the Bible says. For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. She said, we know that you don't like us. And we know the Jews don't like us. Why are you talking to me? Hey, listen, if Beacon Baptist Church is known for anything, it ought to be known for those folks are friendly. That's the friendly crowd right there. That's the crowd that loves people. You want to make a difference? The Bible says some having compassion, making a difference. You want to make a difference? Have compassion. Be willing. Be willing to cross some boundaries. I don't know if there's a train track through this town or not, but sometimes we know, you know, they're on the wrong side of the track or they're on the other side of the track. Hey, you know what? Those folks need the Lord Jesus Christ just as much as you do. So he's willing to cross some boundaries. What else? As we begin to find and read this passage of Scripture, not only was the Lord willing to cross some regional boundaries. He went somewhere that nobody else wanted to go, but he also was willing to cross some racial boundaries. Bill Holcomb's he's a full-blooded Cherokee Indian. He's a Baptist preacher. He's a nut. Amen. And he was at a big meeting one time, and he was the pastor, but he was preaching, and boy, he's just dark, and I mean, you know, he looks like an Indian. And he's up there, and he said, "Now listen, this is a song that my grandma taught us to sing when we were little." And so he started singing. He said, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. With our feathers, oh so bright, He'll protect us from the white. Jesus loves the little children of the world." Do you know somebody that's not like you? Somebody that may be a different race, different color. What a time to share the gospel. Christmas. I mean, when you think of Christmas, what do you think about? Christ. The great announcement, for God so loved the world. The great adventure. You know what? Hey, if you could leave here this morning with this thought, man, I'm going to have to go see my boss, or I'm going to have to go see my coworker. I must needs go to or through where? Can you think of somebody that you could share Christ with? So I can't think of anybody. Would you pray, God, would you lay on my heart somebody that I could share the gospel with? It doesn't matter where they live. It doesn't matter what color they are. Hey, this lady had a reputation. She had known many men. Jesus said, "Go call thy husband." She said, "I have no husband." He said, "You're right." Hey, this lady had a reputation. You know somebody that has a reputation? I had one. Again, redneck, hillbilly, roughneck. Amen. But yet somebody loved me enough. My preacher, Lee Osteen, he said, somebody must needs go down in the holler, down there where the redneck lives. Somebody needs to go down there and tell that old boy about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he's a Cajun from Louisiana. You talk about strange people. Amen. But think about it. What an adventure to be a Christian. What an adventure to just follow the Lord. What if He asked you to go to some strange place? I would go. What if He prompts you to talk to some strange person? I would speak. It'll be an adventure. Amen. He must needs go through Samaria. Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto Him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," speaking of the well water, physical, "whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." See, this lady had religion. As you go on and read this story, she said, "Now, our fathers said to worship in this mountain, but you guys say to worship in..." So she had a real good dose of religion. And by the way, religion will not take you to heaven. It absolutely will not. We say, "Well, I'm a member of a church." Well, that's good. "Well, I've been baptized." Well, I guess that's... Well, I've... Hey, listen. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ alone as your personal Savior? You go on and read the story. She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet." She said, "There's something different about you." There is something different about the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus, and see, here's the deal too. And I know you've done this. Sometimes we'll meet folks and we'll shake their hands. "Hey, I'm brother so-and-so, and we're from," and folks will say, "Well, you know what? This is my favorite thing. Do you know for sure you have a home in heaven?" You know what the 99.9% answer is for that question? "Well, sure I do. I say, well, how do you know? You know what the number one answer is? I'm good. Did you know that contradicts Scripture? You know the Bible says there's none good. There's none good. Hey, listen, being good won't get you into heaven. Think about it. If being good would get us in, why did Jesus come? We could just be good. Well, I'm a member of a church. Well, being a member of a church won't get you into heaven. If it did, why would Jesus come? Well, I've been baptized. Hey, if being baptized gets you to heaven, why would Jesus come? If there's something I could do to get in, why did Jesus come? Because there was nothing I could do to get in. I could not be good enough. I could not do enough. That's why He had to come. And I'm sure glad He did. Why? Because it's not religion, my friend. It's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I got that relationship September the 9th, 1990. You ever done this? You ever asked somebody if they were saved? And they said, sure. And I said, well, when did you get saved? The answer is, a long time ago. Now this morning, if you asked me and if I was married, and I said yes, and they say, when did you get married? A long time ago. You'd say, oh, you're in trouble. Hey, have you done the same thing? Brother, are you married? When did you get married? Oh, a long time ago. She's going to hit him a smack. And... Amen. I know this guy's married, Chris. His mom told me stories about him last night. Are you married, brother?
Yes.
When did you get married?
Wow.
Are you saved? Yeah, when did you get saved? A long time ago. Well, I mean, was that like when you were 8 or were you a teenager? Or were you in your early 20s? I mean, you should be able to at least narrow it down to decades. Amen. Hey, listen, I know who I married. I know when I got married. I know who, when. I know who, when, where. I know how. I remember the guy that performed. And by the way, the one I married's here. You see, because I'd done something, I have some details about who I married. I was married in a long time ago. But I think this year we've been married 31 years. September the 29th. It's 9th. Because it was the day before bow season. I remember. It's the only way I can remember. It's the day before bow season. I didn't get to go bow hunting the next day, but that's okay. It was worth it. Yeah, you saved. Oh, yeah. When did you get saved? Oh, a long time ago. Is that all the details you have? I mean, don't you remember where you were at? Paul said it was about midday, O king. Around noonish. It wasn't 12:03 at mile marker 3. He said about midday, O king, on the road to Damascus, I saw on the way. In other words, Paul said, hey, listen, I remember a time and I remember a place that I met the Lord. What an adventure. What an adventure. Now listen, hey, if you're saved this morning, you have the adventure. Wouldn't it be great to give that to somebody else? I mean, the greatest story that's ever been told is about Him, about the Lord Jesus Christ. He must needs go through Samaria. What did He find? He found a lady there. He talked to her at the well. The Bible tells us that she left her water pot. I mean, hey, if that's all you had to your name, you'd take it. But she said, you know what? What I found is so much more important than what I've got. She just left him. The Bible says that she ran back to the city and began telling all the men, think about it, her reputation. She said, let me tell you about a man I met. She says, oh, yeah. No. This man's different. This man told me all that I ever done. She said, come and see. And the men of the city began to come out to see what she had found. The sad part is, hey, let's skip forward. Oh, that's upside down. Let's go this way. There we go. Let's get right side up. let's skip forward. Let's read verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. He said, I'm him. Notice what the Bible says. Jesus saith unto her, I'm sorry, verse 27. And upon this, here's the sad part. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? I mean, they had been gone away. I mean, can you think about what they'd missed? Jesus is here sharing the bread of life and the water of life with this lady. And they just missed the whole... Hey, listen, don't miss opportunities to talk about Him with others. You know what I'm talking about. You know when the Holy Spirit of God says, listen, I want you to give her a try. And I'm thinking, but Lord, what is she going to think? And Lord, if somebody sees me, what are they going to think? And Lord, He says, give her a track. See, I have a decision to make, don't I? See, I could miss out on an opportunity to share the Lord Jesus Christ with somebody else. Or I can say, you know what? This is kind of scary. Hey, when it gets scary, it becomes an adventure, doesn't it? Hey, if you drive with me through Toronto and those folks are honking, I'm pretty sure that they're not trying to be friendly. When I drive through Toronto, it is an adventure. I have a full-size truck in a compact town. We went to see Brother Harper, and he meets in a library, and the services are in the church basement, or not the church basement, but the library basement. And I had to circle the block three times to figure out how to get in the parking lot. Once I got in there, I told my wife, I said, listen, pull the mirror in. And I'm going to try to back in here. The security guard even came out to watch. He's thinking, oh, good night. Somebody call 911 now. After service, we got out. I couldn't get out of the parking lot. The turn was so sharp. And so I had to get out of the parking lot going the wrong way backwards. I have a full-size truck in a compact town. I don't like Toronto. But because I have a friend there, I've been there three times. Hey, listen, sometimes God may ask you to do something that's not real exciting for you, but it's real needful for somebody else. And so when I go to Toronto, it really becomes an adventure. I'm thinking, Lord, help me get out of here. Amen. Sometimes we try to get out of what God has for us. Amen. Instead of getting out, y'all try to get in. Get into what God has for you. God's got a wonderful plan for your life, and God's got an adventure for your life. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. The disciples came. They'd missed all the conversation. Hey, they had missed the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with somebody about their eternal soul. Hey, they had missed watching this wonderful transaction transpire here. And upon this, His disciples came His disciples and marveled that He talked with the woman. Why are you talking to her? Why are you talking to her? Because she needs Him. Amen? Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Isn't this Him? I think I found it. Come and see. You remember when you first got saved? You were so excited. Man, you couldn't wait to tell somebody. You won't believe what happened. Amen. You remember that time? I know for some it's harder than others. Amen. You remember when you got saved? I can remember when I got saved. I just don't know what transpired afterwards. we go back and see folks, and I've witnessed to my sister-in-laws, I know twice, because after I got saved, evidently I was a nut, and my wife was a nut follower. And so we moved to Canada, and we moved back to Arkansas, and God lets me pastor my home church, and I go talk to my sister-in-laws. I said, listen, you should come to church. Are you saved? And they said, yeah. When did you get saved? You baptized us. And I'm thinking, well, praise the Lord for short-term memory. But boy, after we've been saved, well, it's easy to calm down, isn't it? I've been studying the seven churches in the book of Revelation. What time do we get done? He didn't classify, and that clock looks like it stopped in the back, and so I'm just teasing. This morning I was reading about the church in Laodicea. You know what marked the church at Laodicea? Lukewarmness. They weren't excited. They weren't cold. If it's cold, they'd note it. Amen. Just go to Alaska or Canada. They'll find out what cold is. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. They were comfortable. Do not get comfortable. God's not pleased with comfortable. So how do you get uncomfortable? I challenge you, when you leave this auditorium, you have some gospel tracts. Get you some gospel tracts. Ladies, put them in your purse. Fellows, stick them in your pockets. That's the way God designed it. Amen. Amen. Men shouldn't have purse. If you got one, I'm sorry, talk to your preacher. Just trying to be a blessing. Hey, stick some of them in your purse, lady. Stick some in your pockets, fella. Leave this place, go out there and say, you know what? I'm not going to be comfortable. I'm going to hand out a tract. I'm going to have an adventure. Well, what do folks think? What does God think? It doesn't matter what they think. What does He think? I'm telling you, it'll be an adventure. You'll come back tonight. You'll have stories. You won't believe what happened to me. I handed out a tract and they threw it down. Well, praise the Lord. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I gave out a tract, and by the way, preacher, they come to church with me tonight. How exciting would that be? I gave out a tract and had a chance to see somebody get saved. The great adventure. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It's Christmas time. What, folks are curious, and this is the reason for, I mean, this is the time of year, isn't it? I mean, when everybody's attention, everybody's focus kind of focuses on one grand theme throughout eternity. Hey, think about it. Everybody says, well, you know what? There was something happened that was catastrophic. Oh, I know. It happened about 2,000 years ago. It's when God made His mind up just to step in. There's never been an event greater than the event that Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth. That's the greatest event that's ever happened since the day of creation. It's the greatest event. Oh, we got soccer or football. Oh, that's a fleshly event. But that's not the greatest event. The greatest event that's ever happened is an event that we call Christmas. God manifested Himself in the flesh. God with us. Isn't that exciting? Think about it. God with us. Say, where's God this morning? He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, God with us. He's here. He's here. Isn't that exciting? To know that when you come to church and you assemble for this reason, God shows up. Don't miss it. God's got a wonderful adventure for you. You say, well, how does the story end? Well, He was willing. He was willing. He was willing to leave heaven to come here. Hey, He was willing to cross some regional boundaries. He was willing to cross some racial boundaries. He was willing to cross some religious boundaries. Hey, it's easy to fellowship with people of like faith and practice. Amen. It gets uncomfortable when you start dealing with them different folks. But you know what? Those folks need to hear the gospel just as much as you do. Amen? So how does the story end? Well, the disciples come. They're really not interested in what the lady done. The Bible says in verse number 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. You remember what they missed? They missed the message. And the lady at the well, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Somebody bring you a sandwich. Where did he get food? They missed it. I mean, it's like, you ever talked to somebody before and you just knew that it just kind of, lights are on, nobody's home. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. They just missed this whole thing. Now, look at verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Jesus says in verse 35, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. He says, Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. See, we're not waiting on the harvest. It's ready now. It's already white. It's white already to harvest. I mean, you said, when should we get excited and when should we? Now. Not later, now. And by the way, if you'll study this thing out, we'll try to act it out here for just a moment. I need somebody to pick on. Is his name, it starts with a B, right? Your son? Ben. I knew it was a B. I called him Brent. My wife said, what was his name? I said, Buddy, Brent, Bob. It's Ben. All right, Ben, come here, buddy. Come here, buddy, Ben. He's going to represent all the disciples. Well, he can't represent all. No, you got to face me. You don't see what's coming. Can I get you to help me, please, sir? Yes, sir. Yeah, you. Yeah, come on. It's wonderful when they volunteer, isn't it? Here's two more. Can I get you to volunteer? Yes, and you. Wonderful volunteers, isn't it? You know what? If you need help, brother, they just volunteer. Amen. Hey, pressure washing, sweeping, shoveling, doesn't matter. Just volunteer, amen. And so, now remember the scene. He must needs go through Samaria. While he's dealing with her, they're out buying meat. And then they come back. They're kind of marveled at why is he talking to her. And then Jesus has a lesson. He says, my meat is not, I have meat to eat that you know not of. His meat is to do the will of the Father. So now this is an I think. I think as he's teaching these disciples that were kind of missed the whole thing, he talks to them and he says, listen, you need to lift up your eyes and look. You see what the Bible says? Now they're looking at him. He's teaching. Where did the lady go in the story? Anybody remember? She went back to the city and told the man, come see a man. And so this is an I think, and I'm going to try to prove it here from Scripture. I think as he was trying to teach them a lesson, she had gone back to the city. I think the men of the city were coming. Say, why do you think that? Can I get you to pick up there after verse 35, brother? Pause. Many believe because of her saying. Many more believe. Continue, please.
So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word.
That'll be good. See, here's the I think. I think when she had gone to the city and began to tell what she had found, they began to come. Jesus is trying to teach them that they need to look on the fields. Why? Because they're white already to harvest. And they're thinking, well, where's the harvest? Can you see him now? I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, because they're white, all ready to harvest. Thank you, fellas. Can I get you to bow your head and close your eyes, please?